Hi, welcome back once more. I'm David Andrew Laws.
And I'm Robin Reitmeyer.
And you are listening to Tales Told by a Hidiot, a Hamlet is a Dead podcast.
Hello, welcome.
I'm sitting in the back row, so I hope you can still hear me. And today we're in, Caffe Theater. And you're going to hear so much more about them in the upcoming weeks, but just know that we've moved from my inflatable couch. And we have some lovely guests with us tonight.
Yes.
Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm playing Murderer Number One in the Queen's Player production of Richard III at the Secret Theater.
That was all the information.
Yeah,
all done. Okay.
Yeah, we're done. And I'm with.
And our second guest.
Hi, I'm Alberto Buni. I'm the director of the said play.
Alberto, the director, and Sam, Murderer Number Uno. So, we'll get started. So, say once more what the company is. What's the company that we have on the show?
Yeah, it's the Queen's Players.
Queen's Players.
Mm-hmm. We do our performances at the Secret Theater in Long Island City.
Hey, the Secret Theater, which is in fact
in
Queens.
It is also a big secret.
It's a huge secret. So it's really difficult to find out how to go there, isn't it, Alberto?
Well, with the advent of the internet, you can log on to www.thesecrettheater.com and find the location nearest you.
Grace,
just don't use Apple's map. Use Google.
Oh yeah, because doesn't Apple's map say it's closed?
Yeah.
It's not.
They say it's in Bangladesh, so.
Okay. Oh, that too.
Right, so the Queen's Players perform at the Secret Theater, which is actually in Queens. It's not a queen, or it's not a drag show.
Correct.
So yeah, tell us, so are you...
have you always been there?
Yeah.
Have the Queen's Players always been at the Secret Theater?
Yes, the Queen's Players actually, it was started by Richard Mazda, I don't even know when, a while ago, but I've always directed Queen's Players shows out there in the theater. There are two theaters, actually. There's a small little a black box, and then there's the larger space.
Cleverly named the...
The Little Secret and the Big Secret.
Got it. And this one is in the...
Is in the Big Secret.
This is in the Big Secret.
Yes.
So this, if you want to come see a big epic show, this is the one to see. And so how long have you been directing with the Queen's Players?
I think the first show I directed over there was... Servant of Two Masters, and I think that was 5 years ago? So maybe I've been with them 5-6 years now?
Okay, that's a lot of years. Several years.
Mm-hmm. I directed Raft of the Medusa there, Three Sisters, Twelfth Night, Macbeth, and also this one, Richard.
Nice, Richard the
Third. Richard, this isn't your grandfather's Richard.
No, this is definitely not. This is an absolutely punk-infused rock and roll set in 1980 London hardcore. We interact with the audience, live band on stage.
Wait, hardcore, Sam? You're hardcore.
I'm not hardcore. I'm the only character who's not hardcore.
So it's hardcore minus Sam.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, the cops are...
cops are not hardcore.
Wait, the cops?
What we did was we in our production, because everybody else was so, you know, villainous and murderous and like all these like punk personalities.
Wait,
drugs, coke.
Everyone else was murderous.
Yes.
So the murderers.
We made them cops.
Okay.
Crooked
yeah,
cops,
totally.
for lack of a better expression.
Makes sense.
Bobbies. So.
I'm sure there's a lot of social commentary in that.
Yeah, actually, I mean, it works for the for the set, because I mean, actually, in 1979, 1980 in London, they actually labeled it the Winter of Discontent. There was a newspaper that actually labeled it that. So we said it that way because there was 1.4 million people out of work in the UK at the time, before Margaret Thatcher came in. And so punk was like this kind of rebellious against the establishment. So I thought it'd be really fun to have the people that were... The murderers be the establishment.
Okay. Yeah, right. So, like, 1.4 million unemployed. If only it were relevant today.
If only we could say something. I can't find a parallel.
Shakespeare just doesn't, you know.
Does not translate.
No,
I don't think so. But Sam, we haven't
talked. Oddly, the first time that we've talked about Shakespeare with a guest, right? Because we did.
Who did, yeah. Who's done some. Much.
So it's good to have.
Who is this Shakespeare
guy?
Talking
about a lot of modern
Good. Good,
man.
So Richard III set in the actual Winter of Discontent in the late 1970s in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it's rock and roll.
Yeah, we have a live band, and they're awesome.
Oh, yeah?
It's five guys who rotate instruments throughout the show. They can
what?
All sing.
Wait, they rotate their instruments as they're playing? Is that what you're saying?
That too, like ZZ Top.
The stage
rotates. Yeah.
For you older
it's
people.
Like Les Mis. We've got one of those big rotating stages.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's like Les Mis.
Right.
I can see that. That's
it's
a
like
good.
ZZ
only
Top
not.
Les Mis is what
yeah,
I
it's
yeah.
the ZZ Top version of Les
so,
Mis.
So, I don't even know if you guys were alive when that band came out with their first album. I'm the oldest one in the group, but... no, they actually, like, Alex, our Alex, we call him Alex Murray, he like, also plays guitar, sings, goes drums, and then our drummer does the same. He, like, swaps out, and then everybody, and they're also characters in the play, so.
Excellent.
And they had never played before until they actually, until we, you know, got them in a room for.
They never played
after.
At all, or they never played together?
They learned
I hope
instruments
so. They learned instruments for
this
show.
Right.
No, and then when we were in a rehearsal, they started, they were like, hey, you want to, I came in and I was like, hey guys, I want to hear this song. And then they played it and I was like, oh my God, you guys sound like, you guys have been playing this forever. And like, well, actually, that's the first time we've actually played it as a group. So
nice.
I think they're going to actually stay as a band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're really cool. They
you
all,
know, I actually, I talked to Alex Murray and he's like, well, yeah, we all really want to, but like three of us would all do the same thing. And then Ryan Halsiver will do something else. And, you know, Peter
Ryan
wants to do.
And Peter.
Yeah. The
yeah.
worst.
Yeah.
What breaking up the band.
Name? What would their band name be? That's
well,
what I was
for the show, we call them R3.
R3. Why do you call them that?
We actually think that it's kind of relevant. I don't know. You have
cool.
to see the play.
Like, are like relevant?
You have to see the business.
I'm going to spoil that. Sorry. No spoilers. And so there's these five people. Do other people play? Like, is it
yeah,
a join in?
Yeah, it's a really talented musical
yeah.
cast.
Yeah.
Pretty
our
much,
Buckingham does. He does,
plays,
he gets on the piano for the curtain call with Rock the Casbah.
Yeah,
so.
And the guy playing Hastings plays a pretty incredible guitar solo.
Ooh.
Our Lady Anne plays guitar as well. The dressing room's a mess because we're all singing all the time.
Right, but is it? Did you write original music?
Yes,
yeah,
actually.
We did.
Actually, Brittany, who plays Lady Anne, composed two of the songs that we actually used. So we've actually melded some of Shakespeare's text with
okay.
music. She does one of her soliloquies with music, and then we also have the dream sequence, which is the nightmare sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what we've done is we've turned it into like a rock punk nightmare. So it has a melody. It's got some, you know, they sing all together certain parts. So it's pretty cool.
Cool. So there is original music, but then there is also
right.
Like,
we do Ramones, The Clash, Billy Idol.
They're all there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
the ghosts are there.
The
oh,
ghosts.
Okay.
That's very Shakespearean.
Yeah. Quite. Quite. Yeah, it's excellent. Awesome. So you got some music. You got some. It's very punk. Very not your grandfather's Richard III.
Mm-hmm. And the costumes are designed actually by Sue Waller, who was one of the runner-ups for Project Runway. And her actual aesthetic was always punk. And she came and saw my Macbeth and spoke with Richard and was like, "Oh my gosh, this is great." And Richard Mazza was like, "Hey, I got a great idea. What if we bring her on?" So I met with her. And at first I was like, I don't know, this person is like really kind of in the celebrity world and all this, but she was so sweet, completely into this show. So she's actually created some original designs. Richard's jacket is an original one that she's actually created, and her stuff's amazing. It's like hardcore
yeah.
leather. It's like, it's so cool. So
now have you done like a marketing, like, are you going to sell these clothes and this music, this album? You have like an album release and like a
well, I think
too.
The album release, I don't know. I'd have to talk to Richard. Richard Mazza was actually one of the big punk producers in London.
Richard Mazza, the founder of the Queen's
The founder of the Queen's Players.
And he's in the show.
And he's in the show. He's
sorry,
playing
just
actually
for you at
Richard.
Home.
Yes, he's playing Richard. Well, Sue's jackets normally sell for about 10 grand each.
She told the woman playing Stanley Pauly that she could purchase the shirt she wears, but it would be like $600.
Okay.
Yeah.
For a shirt?
Yeah.
The shirt better be made of golden taffy and massage me while I sleep.
Yeah, it's made of dreams mm-hmm. and also nice. Everything, sugar,
it's,
spice, and everything nice.
It's
How
made
was...
of Shakespeare and dreams.
Oh.
But she was really, she was really instrumental in helping create the look and everything for it, so it was good.
Yeah. How was the process from, you know, we love to dish, we love bloopers and things like that. Were there any sort of road bumps on the way to
The only road bump I would say that was very difficult is that because the cast is so huge, we have so many different, you know, work schedules, and you know, when you're doing a theater literally for free, it's tough to tell an actor, hey, I need you here at rehearsal, and they're like, well, I kind of gotta work because I gotta pay rent and eat.
Right.
So that was the biggest challenge, was really that. But as far as personalities and everything, I've got an amazing cast. They're all really enthusiastic.
He's saying
all
Sam's
individuals
right next to him.
Right
it's
here.
True.
Except for Sam.
Who's a huge diva. And you know what? Alberto actually told me I didn't need to eat anymore, so I shouldn't go into work.
Oh, God. Burr.
I even slapped the sandwich out of her hand.
It's true.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be. And she claimed to be a vegetarian. I was like, what are you doing?
Hamlet
know,
isn't
right?
dead, doesn't know anything about having to accommodate for work schedules. That's not something that we...
We just don't.
We just don't.
We
yeah.
say quit.
We say...
Quit your job.
We say, no rehearsal.
Take the day.
We say you've read the play, show up on the day. We're ready.
We see it opening.
We definitely don't need a tech.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's a thing.
Have we ever had a tech?
Have we? No. Hamlet's dead. Techless Shakespeare.
That's right.
Where it's very authentic and all that.
Yes.
And all that.
And all of that as well. So you've got these really expensive costumes. We've got this great album. And so what. You know, the script is cut,
I guess. Well, Charlie, who's our dramaturg,
Charles Baker, a legend and a gentleman and a scholar,
He's a wonderful guy who I've worked with several times. Before we even get started, me and him have a conversation about what I'm looking for, the goals and my vision. And then I basically told him, I said, I need you to, this play is originally like 4.5 hours long. I said, no one's going to sit through this. unless you have Mark Rylance. But I was like, he cut it too.
And, you don't? Mark Rylance isn't in the show?
He's not in the show.
Maybe.
He has a cameo.
He's going to be in our Sunday the 16th performance.
Yeah. And so I said, Charlie, I need you to cut this thing to the absolute bone. Cut as much as you can. So we ended up cutting 1/3 of the play.
A third of the play. But then you got to add some music in. So
it was just Richard. There's no Richard the Third anymore.
Oh.
Because we cut a third.
Now it's the...
Nice.
Thank you. Nice. Yeah, okay. So yeah, so you cut the third of the play, and now it's, you know, with music, it runs...
We run about 2 hours and 40 minutes.
2 hours and 40 minutes. So still a good night out for the theater, but you're not going to turn 100 while you're there.
No, and everybody's really enjoyed this. The pace is very fast and it's exciting, and obviously
right.
because
it
we're
sounds
still
like
in Marvel.
There's so much, and I heard there's some interaction, some audience.
Yeah, yeah.
We
basically, I told, because that's the way they did it back then.
Right.
So I was like, guys, whenever you get an opportunity to absolutely include the audience in it.
Actually, we should probably mention that story. Actually, Sam, do you remember that? Sam has the distinction of having been in the Queen's Players and Hamlet Isn't Dead.
She's in the middle of the Venn diagram of this podcast.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's the important part of the Venn diagram of this podcast. Sam, you were in...
Taming of the Shrew.
Taming of the Shrew. Yeah.
Our last Hamlet Isn't Dead production.
Yeah. Which we talked about on the first podcast, but you...
If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it right now.
Right now!
Wait. Great. Okay, anyway, yeah, that was great. And so, you played...
I played Bianca
right?
in that production.
Yes, and so just speaking of audience interaction, there's a fun story that David really likes, but I thought I'd let you tell it. Do you remember the last performance?
Yes.
Were you involved in any of that audience participation? I vaguely remember. Maybe David tells me.
It's close to the very last scene. It's right before the big party scene at the very end. And they're all finding out who's been in disguise and who's lying about being whom. And throughout and several other periods in the play, there were parts where actors would bring audience members up on stage to do a really small little, like, move a block or you know, just indicating the audience.
Oh, that's right. Wes was so excited.
In the show, this guy is so excited that maybe he'll get picked to interact that he's, like, on the edge of his chair. And someone just happens to point in his direction, not even meaning for him to get up on stage. And he's up out of his chair on the stage. The other person who was meant to go up on stage comes up. So we actually had about as many audience members on stage
as actors on stage, right. So speaking of audience participation, yeah. So I don't know if you guys have choreographed any plants or any huge bits of the audience, but
no,
we just wanted to
the
share
the
that
beginning. The beginning does have some stuff, but at any moment, the audience is fair game. Especially for the band. Especially for the band.
Well, and for Ben, Alex, and I in the pre-show.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, the pre-show.
Yeah, we give the audience a hard time coming into setting up the club experience.
Yeah, right.
The club, the rock and roll.
Right, because the idea is that when you're entering this show, it's like you're going to like a rock show rather than, you know, your grandfather Shakespeare, I guess. That's
it's like you're going back in time, but not that far back in time.
Right,
so
you're
like,
you only go 30 years back.
Yeah. It's not so long.
Right,
yeah.
in all of them, in relative to Shakespeare.
Yes.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to take a little break. Don't go away.
I've been eating this whole time.
David's been eating this whole time, but that's made me hungry, and I don't know about the other two, but it's time to have a little break. So, it'll only be, as usual, it'll only be a second for you, but it's going to be a couple minutes for us, and...
Stick around, and we'll see you when we say we're going to see you again now. Hit the space bar.
You're listening to Tales Told by a Hideous, the Hamlet Isn't Dead podcast. On this episode, we have Alberto Bonilla and Sam Maurice representing the Queen's Players production of Richard III, showing at the Secret Theatre from February 27th to March 15th.
For more information, you can go to www.secrettheatre.com. If you like what you've heard so far, remember to follow Hamlet Isn't Dead on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
And we're back!
Welcome back.
Hello!
Did you miss us?
I missed us.
I did too.
Well, I was having an existential crisis that whole time.
Oh, goodness me. So, we're back with Alberto Bonilla and Sam Maurice.
Yay!
Hey!
That was great for rejoicing.
That's right. That's right. So, we've been talking about Richard III, but now we're going to talk about just, you know, theater.
I like it. So,
girls?
Girls?
What?
No, not this time. We're going to have a summer party later. But right now, we have to ask you a very important question. Mm. We always ask our listeners and our viewers, we'll ask the listeners eventually, what is your favorite Shakespeare play?
Albert.
It depends on what I'm doing with it, to be quite honest with you.
That's fair.
That's a saucy answer. It depends on what base I've gotten to recently.
No, it really is, because it's like, I love Twelfth Night, just because,
boring. No, just kidding.
Because it's
not
so funny to me. But I love because it's so epic. But I was also reminds me of my childhood. I don't know.
Right.
I meant that.
Right.
Lord of the reading Lord of the Rings and all of those kinds of like.
You were just consumed
because he was
by
a murderer.
Guilt.
I met these three witches.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, "Alberto,
well, the bus stop was in a seedy part of town. So.
Fair.
So I guess that would be. That would be the thing. I can tell you which
saying.
One is my least favorite.
I know that's not what we asked.
Is it the question?
Well, just because people get really upset with me when I say it.
I'm
so ready to get upset this time.
What is it?
Midsummer.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah. No one's upset with that answer.
It's not my favorite.
It's your least favorite?
Yeah, it's my least favorite.
You like Midsummer less than you like Timon of Athens.
Yes.
It's a worse play than King John.
No.
Then
Henry
the
Eighth. Yeah, Henry
the Eighth.
I just
is the ultimate worst.
I like it more than I did before. Now, you know, because
What's the most recent production of Midsummer Night's Dream you've seen?
Well, I saw the production that you were in, and it was wonderful production.
It was. Oh, yeah. Right.
It was.
You know who's
I like it better now that I've actually worked on it. But for the longest time, I was like, it just doesn't excite me. Now I like it more.
Right. So Alberto Bonilla is not excited by Midsummer, and
thinks
it's a worse play than
Henry
VIII.
There must be a support group out there somewhere.
I told you. I'm just being honest.
Alberto is the only one in that.
Right.
No,
so
one in
you didn't. Did you actually say your favorite?
No, because I said it depends on the time.
Well, what's your favorite?
One,
you have to.
One
I mean,
favorite.
Yeah,
that's a. Rule.
If I can
audience at home, imagine there's a gun to Alberto's head right now. Click.
Oh, is this the Nazi's got my grandma?
Oh, what? Who? What's your favorite Shakespeare play?
If I could only direct one play. And it
no, what's your favorite play? you gotta listen to the question and then answer.
Romeo and Juliet.
Okay,
Romeo and Juliet.
Very good. Very
Romeo
good.
Right.
Alberto giving a straight answer to a question. That's
not
very good.
You got a lot to follow there. Do you have a.
I like As You Like It.
As I like it?
No, As I Like It.
Oh. As one
as,
happens to
as
like
one likes it.
As one likes it.
As one is fond. So you like it. So As You Like It is your favorite.
Yep.
Why? As You Like It. Why?
Because I
why
like
do you like it. As You Like It.
Because I like Rosalind and I like I like the strong female characters and it's funny.
And it's funny.
Those are all
funny.
Good reasons to like
funny.
Something.
So
it's
I can't
funny.
Remember our I can't remember our tally right now.
Okay, so let's think. We're not telling ours.
Nope.
But Travis likes Hamlet.
Yep.
So we got one for Hamlet, one for Cymbeline.
This is boring, so we shouldn't do this right now.
One
but.
For
Hamlet. I don't think we have any repeats yet. I don't think we have any repeats yet is what we're saying. So now we have one for, I can't even remember what it was.
Romeo
and Juliet. And we have one for As You Like It. So that's a pretty wide spectrum of...
Last week, when you were on at the orphanarium rescuing those baby birds...
It was tough, let me tell you.
We had a guest who didn't like Shakespeare. Alberto, how do you respond to that?
Oh, I got into a huge debate online with somebody.
I saw it
online.
I saw
oh, yeah. Did you saw that on the Facebook?
I saw it on the Facebook.
Yeah, I got into a very big debate on somebody who hates it and says that it's irrelevant and that it's that if you like Shakespeare, it's a Western doctrination or whatever they call it. You've been brainwashed because
brainwashed.
The English and the whites have completely. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself,
the
like,
whites.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the
whites.
You white folks.
Let the
out
record
there.
Show.
That Alberto is Hispanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
like,
we didn't
okay.
bring that up.
Yeah. You know, hola, ¿cómo estás? No, and I was like, you know, that's okay. If that's how you feel, then don't go to it. But I feel like, you know, the guy's been dead for, what, 400 years, and people are still doing his plays?
Well, and actually, we at Hamlet is Dead don't feel that if you don't want to, you shouldn't go to it. We think you should give it one more chance,
exactly.
And that should be to come to a Hamlet is Dead show. Will
that's what I told her
you.
Last week, and she was like, I was like, well, you just need to come and see one.
We will change your mind. And
maybe not for the better, but we'll definitely change it.
Yeah.
It might have been like, I don't like Shakespeare, and then it'd be like, I hate Shakespeare. At least that's a passionate position.
Right? Yeah, yeah, we're giving you somewhere to go, is really what we're doing. Great, so we have a few more minutes to talk about whatever we want to talk about, really. What is your... Alberto, you, on Midsummer, you did some fight choreography.
Yes.
That's your... is that your background?
I got into fight choreography when I was getting my... actually, God, years ago, I studied many martial arts, and I just kind of fell into it. Many martial arts.
This big.
It's mini martial arts. No. So it's just I actually just got published in Fight Masters magazine, actually specifically talking about Macbeth and the state of New York fight choreography.
What
and,
is the state?
I was about to ask.
Well,
state of disarray.
The state. Well, no, it's just. Well, basically, what I talked about was that that right now in New York, it seems to be like there's three different kinds of. You see three different kinds of fight choreography. Either it's like straight from the movies,
bad,
or which is yeah,
terrible and worse.
Oh
no!
No,
I didn't say that. I said either brilliantly done or
which is
trying
by Alberto.
Which,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And or it's they're trying to be like to do the movies. Like you like I remember seeing
what's
a
like movie
course. Well, I mean like I saw after when The Bourne Identity came out, I went to go see actually it happened to be a Shakespeare show, I will not mention. And they basically did the same choreography of Krav Maga and I was like really?
So
it
got like a newspaper or like a pen and like
yeah, it was like there. I was like this person's fighting like a ninja or a spy and they're not. It was just yeah,
so it's hand to hand kind of movie.
Yeah, it was clearly somebody had watched the movie and was a real big fan of it, or
okay.
Maybe it was an homage.
Can you say what show it was? You don't
no,
have to tell us.
I don't want to talk bad about
the
show.
Yeah. No, I mean, but you don't have to tell us what production it was. There's been a
now,
few
don't
productions.
Pressure the man.
I'm not gonna say.
I want
it
some
Timon and Juliet of
As you
Verona.
Love
yeah.
the. Love.
Which was not a Hamlet Isn't Dead production.
Or what you will.
Okay, clarify that, at least. It wasn't a Hamlet Isn't Dead production.
No, it was not.
Oh,
right. And it wasn't a Queen's Players production.
Right.
So.
It was neither a Queen's Players or a Hamlet Isn't Dead.
It was outside the Venn diagram completely.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was on a pie chart.
So I think you just said
yeah.
It's either very good
it's either very
it's
good.
Movie.
Right, or they're trying to be movie, or it's what I would call, backyard choreography, where somebody goes onto YouTube and they try to take something off so the execution of it isn't right, because they just don't know what they're doing.
Sounds a little dangerous.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So that's yeah. So anyway, so that's another thing that I do as well.
Definitely not Hamlet's Dead or
no.
Queen's Players.
No.
We don't do that.
No.
We're yeah.
Let
don't if you're trying it at home, don't watch YouTube first. That's what we just learned.
Before you do your fight choreography
yeah.
at home.
Don't watch YouTube
when you're trying it at home.
Because YouTube is the yeah definitely.
Sorry, I'm trying not to burp.
Okay. Everyone, sorry. David is trying not to burn.
I'm paying attention and I am very much engaged. But unfortunately, we've run out of time.
That's right. We've run out of time. We've actually got a little, we've squeezed this podcast in right before our fabulous Monday night Elemental Peas that used to be on Friday, but now they're on Monday because that's a better night to do Elemental Peas.
Very important information.
And if you have listened to an earlier podcast, you know what that is referencing. But so we'd like to wish a fabulous goodbye to our two guests. Alberto,
thank you for having me on.
You're so welcome.
Sam?
Bye.
You're awesome. So, one more reminder is that you can see Richard III from February 27th to March 15th. Actually, now there's only 1 weekend left
of
this show.
Only 1 weekend left.
There's 1 weekend left of this show. Yep, we were very complacent then. But there have been 2 fabulous sold-out weekends, so you better get your tickets now. The 1 weekend left, go see Richard Mazda's company and he himself playing the titular role of Richard III. And we'll see you later. If you haven't already, like us on Facebook,
follow us on Twitter, and do all that fun stuff. And we will see you next week. You'll see hear us next week here on Tales Told by a Hidiot.
Remember, it's Hamlet is Dead, Fitty Love,
whether you like it or not.